I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
Flashlight.
Oh, man. It's very difficult to listen to that song without thinking of two things. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Actually, three things. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, GTA 5 or GTA Online, mm-hmm. and also my parents and my uncle. So it's funny how sometimes you think in your head that the things that you're into, like as a youth, that somehow certain things just started with you, like there was no precedence for it.
Yeah.
Only to find out that that's not the case. So, you know that I'm a big, and actually that's well really how we met. That's even how I met Eileen, was through the Coheed and Cambria fan base.
Yeah.
And, you know, being like a, not, I'm gonna say card-carrying member, because that sounds like I'm all like elitist snob, but I just mean like, I fucked heavily with Coheed and Cambria, like child of defense kind of thing. It's a really big deal for me for a lot of reasons. And, you know, going into the storyline and, well, you know that thing of trying to talk to people about the band and you sound unhinged.
It's part of the reason why we've talked a few times about doing Coheed episode on this show and not really knowing how to approach it. It's because there's no way to talk about it where you don't sound like you're trying to describe an anime.
Right? Because, and shout out to Eileen, she's not here. But I know there's times where she'll be telling me about an anime she's been watching, or I'll be telling her about, like, storylines from X-Men, and we're listening with love and intent, and of course there's, like, a smile on our faces, but I'm sure in the back of our minds are like, if anybody uninitiated heard these words, they would immediately run and call the authorities.
Because, like, it's either, oh, these group of kids got together and are cooking food, like, that's the premise. Or it's the most insane, unhinged sort of shit that's happening. Like, trying to, like, describe an episode of, like, Full Metal Alchemist or, like, Dragon Ball Z to somebody, you're just like, I don't know, man. Like, it's fucking weird. And we're fighting, and there's a robot who's alive, but it's a pseudo armor. It's got a kid in it. There's a dog and a little girl. It's all bad, but it's great.
And it's like, I'm going to bring my mom back, even if it costs me an arm and a leg. Like, okay. Now I completely disregard everything I was just talking about. But, like, now you got me on this idea of, okay. I'm going to use the cold open to basically tease something that I now want to put to action. Is explain anime badly.
I'm here for it. Oh my god.
But like, it's crazy. Like, when I talk about the way I talk about Coheed and Cambria to people, and you were singing Flashlight, yeah. And realizing that my aunts and uncles and parents were huge into like George Clinton, you know, Parliament Funkadelic, that whole vibe, mm-hmm. to which it was, I knew they were into it from a musical standpoint, but they were like into it. Like, and I didn't realize that there's lore to this.
Is there?
Yeah, like, it's a whole thing, which I'm not going to bore you with all that, but my dad has this wonderful tendency to, like, just text me random things sometimes. Like, sometimes he'll go on vacation, and then he'll just send pictures of stuff he know he'll be into. Mm-hmm. So, basically, he sends me a picture. Well, actually, no, I just got the notification. All it said was the mothership. And at first, I was just caught unaware, because I'm like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, this is a weird spaceship thing. And I was like, wait, what's the mothership? To which she replies in all caps, what's the mothership? And like five question marks. I'm like,
you're like, oh, I messed up.
Yeah, it's the, what are you talking about? Like, I did not raise you to somehow disregard the work of Parliament. Like, what are you doing? And then, of course, he starts breaking it down. Of course, then I realize, okay, now I know what you're talking about. But then the conversation is then him getting into it, and I realize, holy shit, much like a lot of the things I'm into, my parents probably sound ridiculous talking to people they knew who weren't into it about this. Shout out to my dad, shout out to my relatives, and well, I guess leading into today's episode, Shout out to family.
Hell yeah.
Theme song time. Is it any wonder why we're still going on and on and on? Does anybody ever ask what happened to that one we took? And if we got older, well, you know that's just fine. I could be 100 and I'll still be talking like a teen.
Hi, you're listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past.
And I did load in the theme song in the recording again.
I like this remix version.
Right? Still not as good as your Misery Business remix, though.
Oh, my God. Things I will never escape. That.
And nor should you, because I'm sorry, that was brilliant. That is my goal. I want one day to have that bit you sang and like have an actual band play music behind it.
Oh, I'll have to write a whole set of lyrics for it.
But even just that bit is just gold in and of itself. Even if it's 10 seconds, it'll be the greatest 10 seconds ever. Like, I just want to learn a few guitar chords just to play that.
I'm sure that can happen.
All right, cool. Oh, shit, intros. Hey, y'all.
Hi. Podcast time.
You are listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past. I am Brian O'Connor.
And I'm dead. Just kidding.
Are you the ghost of Letty Ortiz?
That's right. That's me. I'm spooky.
Ooh, ride or die.
I'm a spooky ghost. Family.
Corona. That actually would have been a great alternate version of this movie. All right. So the thing happens, and the whole movie is Michelle Rodriguez is still doing her thing, but she's not on this plane of existence.
It's just standing around in the background holding a Corona looking for a lime.
Or she's in the car with Dom, like, you know.
Messing with the radio or some shit.
Right? I guess it gives a new meaning to the term ghost riding the whip.
That's right.
So, I guess we should do a little backstory. As is often the case, the thing we were going to talk about tonight, we did not. We decided to do that at a later date because today was a day.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to waste it, but at the same time, it's like, that thing, I think it's special and we shouldn't steamroll through it.
Agreed.
So today we're talking about something that we actually did once before. What was that date again? You said it was September what?
So I took this particular set of notes on September 30th, 2020. So I was going through it.
Ashley and I had done two episodes. I think it's 5 and 6?
Yeah.
Or is it 4 and 5?
I think it might be 4 and 5.
The first Fast and Furious, and then we also did Too Fast, Too Furious, the 2003 sequel.
Too Fast for Y'all.
And we had so much fun doing those, and obviously the Fast and Furious is a franchise that I love. And by love, I mean can't shut the fuck up about. I know Ashley digs it too, but you had said that you had watched the first three, right?
So the first two I had seen ad nauseum. And then the rest of them, I'd literally never seen.
Okay. So at the time, now, granted, we also did kind of do like a big rewatch at one point. Wait, was it really 2020? Because hold up, did we not do that in 2019? Oh my God, I don't know when we did these.
No, this was definitely a thing that we did during the beginning stages of the Panini when we were all trapped at home.
But I don't remember that being in September 2020. I thought that was earlier.
I don't know.
I do know that at the time we did record what was going to be an episode, we had a lot of technical issues that day.
Yes.
Mostly on my end. Sorry about that.
It happens. technology.
And we
stupid.
Were going to be like, oh, we're going to do these again at some point, and we didn't. But then I think we started rewatching the movies because you hadn't watched the later ones.
Yeah, you and I started doing Friday night movie nights, which we did for like, I don't know, like 4 months practically.
Yeah, because it was basically, what, every week we watched like a new movie? Well, no, we did, well, okay, time out. It was like, okay, so we went to the Fast and Furious movies.
Yes.
We started watching Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Yeah. Well, there was stuff before that.
Oh, was it like WandaVision we started, I think? Or was it Falcon and Winter Soldier?
We started Falcon and Winter Soldier. We watched a couple of just like random Marvel movies.
That's right. I forgot about the Marvel movies, because that's right. We watched like Winter Soldier. I forgot what other one we watched. Was it Guardians?
I think it was Age of Ultron, because you and I both like that movie more than the average person.
Yes, and that is definitely an episode.
Hell yes.
But Ashley had not seen the later Fast and Furious movies, and I was way too excited to actually talk about them. But like I said, it was plagued with issues recording-wise. And I think now that Ashley has seen the rest of the movies, keep in mind, I've watched these a lot, so I'm going off the cuff. I don't even have notes. It's all in my head. Like, I forgot birthdays, important events, but all this is here. Ashley's got notes from when this happened. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this is during or after the rewatch or watch of all the other movies. So this will be fun. So, yeah, we're going to be doing Fast and Furious. Okay, well, we're saying Fast and Furious 4, but instead of it being The Fast and The Furious, it's just Fast and Furious.
Which, I feel like this is confusing on purpose.
Yes.
Okay.
You are absolutely right, because this movie is both a sequel, prequel, a soft reboot, but also a retelling of the first movie. Almost like an alternate version of the first movie.
Which is sad, because the first movie is ridiculous in the best way. And maybe we didn't need to do some of that.
Which is weird, because this movie doesn't disregard or decanonize the first movie. It almost acts as though the first movie technically still happened, because so much of this movie is hinged on the relationship set up in that first movie.
Right.
But it almost, at the time, disregarded maybe Too Fast, Too Furious.
Which, given Vin Diesel and all of that, like, the fact that he's not even in it, yeah, that's fair. They did a lot of, it felt like they did a lot of work to try and make that movie not a thing, and that movie is definitely a thing. And I'm glad that in later movies, they doubled down and made it a thing and brought back those characters.
For anyone who's listening to this who hasn't seen these movies, they needed to get Vin Diesel and Paul Walker back together. The only difference is that from his first appearance to this one, Vin Diesel went from being like leading man potential to like a bona fide movie star.
Yeah. That first movie was like 2001.
Yeah.
And this movie is like 2009, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His career went some places in those 8 years.
He had the Riddick movies.
Triple X? Or was that
That's
after?
Right. Triple X definitely was 2002. Like, it was shortly thereafter the first Fast and Furious.
The movie is bonkers also, but...
Which, okay, that's definitely an episode, because the Triple X State of the Union with Ice Cube is nuts. But then Vin Diesel comes back for the third one, and the third, it's like, it gives absolutely zero fucks. It is next level ridiculous.
Hell yeah, I'm here for it. Because I've seen it once, and I was intoxicated at the time, so I'm sure.
I mean, that is probably the... Okay, wait, you're talking about the third one, right?
I think so, yeah.
I was also completely... Sorry, Mom and Dad. I was stoned out of my mind. Like, I was faded, zooted, and like, I was done. And yet, I watched this movie being like, this is the greatest piece of cinema. Like, fuck The Godfather, Citizen Kane, get all that shit out of the way.
Oh my God.
This needs to be the new AFI Top 100 movie. This is definitely at least number two, if not number one.
Which is how you know it's unhinged. Yes. Okay. Add that to the list. Hell yeah.
All right. So, like, for anyone who hadn't seen Tokyo Drift, which was the third movie.
Which was me at the time of taking these notes, because looking through it, and I'm like, I, like, mentioned a bunch of times being like, Han is great. I like him. Hope I see him again.
You thought.
Literally, my last comment on my fucking 5 pages of notes is just all caps. It says, bring back Han, you cowards. So, there we go.
And it's so funny because, of course, in that movie, he shuffles loose to Mortal Coil and kerplodes.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, that was 2006 when that came out. So 2009, this movie starts with Dominic Toretto, Letty, these two guys whom we are just now being introduced to, and Han is in a truck. And you're like, what the absolute fuck? We watch this man crash and explode and die. To which then you're like, what is happening? Because in that opening, which is going back to the whole reboot, because keep in mind, the first movie starts off with what were they doing? Ripping off trucks.
Yeah.
So now we're back to ripping off trucks, but now we're in the DR, and now there's more people who are more, arguably more competent than Dominic's old crew.
Well, and like, the movie acts like we're supposed to know who these people are, and maybe that's just like the Han setup. But as far as the other ones, I don't think I remember them being in any other movie.
Well, remember how, like, there's that really poorly filmed short movie that explains how Brian got to Miami?
Yeah. I have to go back to my home planet now.
Vin Diesel, I think he directed this short movie, basically, because there's, like, that post-credit scene in the first movie when Dom's in Mexico.
Yeah.
He and Letty, I guess, meet up in the DR. Of course, that's where Han shows up. And then the two Dominican dudes who are, you know, huge in, you know, the reggaeton, like, Latin music scene, because that's Don Omar and Tego Calderon. Like, so They're, like, a big deal. So, of course, when I first saw this movie, I'm like, who are these guys bickering? But meanwhile, that's, like, these guys are, like, music royalty.
Ah, got it.
To which, okay. I love how, basically, you spend the whole opening of this movie being like, how was Han here? Because that's all I was concerned about. To which, then, when Han shows up afterwards, after the opening credits, you know, hashtag Pitbull song.
Uh-huh. Pitbull's all over this fucking movie.
Okay, and I know you probably have soundtrack notes, but I just love that the movie finally gives us the reason after all the shit happens, being like, how is Han still here? So TLDR, apparently a bunch of their shit gets raided, so it looks like their fun's over. Don's like, it's time to go over for you to do your own thing. And The first thing Han says is, I hear they're doing crazy shit in Tokyo. And you're like, holy fuck, this is a prequel. We're already time jumping 4 movies in. Oh, Han is so popular because actually your notes is what most of America said. Tokyo Drift is not a great movie. But this dude was so popular, they legit made the next like 3-4 movies prequels just to give an excuse to have this guy in them.
Literally, like, my note after heard they're doing some crazy shit in Tokyo, womp womp. I just put, there's something about Han that is immediately likable.
Right?
Like, I don't know. Dude's got charisma. Like, I don't know. He rules.
I don't want to ramble anymore, but I do want to go through Ashley's notes, because if you've listened to this podcast before, Ashley's notes are like our third host. They're that good.
So the opening, I'm kind of relying on the notes. I'm not super duper remembering. I remember that they try to like raid this truck, and I remember like the truck driver bails, and then the truck like catches on fire? Question mark.
Yeah, because they were gas tanks.
Yes. Okay. And then, like, that happens, and that's cool. And then immediately it cuts to yet another scene in which women are being treated super respectfully because it's just, you know, headless torsos and asses and shit.
Which I love the parallel of, in the first movie, they're stealing trucks of TV, DVD player combos.
Yes.
And then using that to, like, fund their racing habits. Where here, it's like they're stealing
Race Wars.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they were stealing trucks to basically start race wars. Like, talk about unhinged. That line, saying that out loud to someone who has never seen these.
Race wars. And you're like, race wars? Like, okay. All right. Brian O'Connor, I see you. Like, maybe let's not be so aggressive about race wars.
Which, and then I think, was it the seventh one? And like, when they're like, oh, what did you want to show me? And Don's like, race wars. I'm like, what? What? No.
No.
And then it's like, we used to come here. It's like, come here. We invented it. It's like, you invented race wars?
Bruh, have you heard of rebranding?
But I feel like that had to have been the hook.
Oh my
that
God,
had to have been the allure. Wars. I don't know. What would be a good alternate title? Because it's like, when you hear race wars, you're like, excuse me, I beg your pardon? That gets people's attention.
Yeah, but not the people you want. Not good race car drivers.
Like, Dom and Letty start this movie nearly dying to steal tanks of gas that then they spend the rest of, like, this opening of people, you know, the headless torsos dancing, and they're just filling up their cars with gas. So it's like,
what, that's the other thing is, I'm like, what's the fucking end game with stealing the oil tankers? Like,
but were they, I guess, were they maybe selling it?
How? Okay, so, like, I'm not a criminal. I'm not good at crime, but, like, how do you sell oil? Like, do you just drive to the BP and be like, I have your gas. Write me a check now. Like, I don't...
But that's the bonkers part. Like, this whole podcast could be about, like, the first 5 minutes of this movie. It's crazy. Like, if you notice, during the scene where they're all dancing, there's girls dancing on top of one of the tanker trucks.
It's like the weirdest music video.
Think about it. You have to actually climb up on top of this to dance. Like, it's not like you just happen to be there.
And you've seen the shoes that those girls wear.
Hey, I think that's skill.
Better them than me, because I can barely walk in some shoes like that. The joys of being tall. You don't have to fuck with heels and stuff.
I have the luxury, Ashley.
We'll get you some lifts. It'll be okay.
All right. What's your next note? Because this is great.
So if you remember, this movie does a lot to sort of tip its hand in regards to Letty. Because, like, if you remember Letty and, like, the shit that Letty wore in the first movie, it's all black and drab and stuff. She's wearing so much white in the first few scenes of this movie that you're like, this is weird. Almost like they're foreshadowing some shit.
See, and I didn't pick up on that. I'm assuming you're referring to her dying.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking, and what I didn't realize is, not until, what, the seventh movie, do we now realize that this is shortly after they got married.
Mm-hmm.
They had just did this, and then he's all like, oh, it's too dangerous. I don't want you getting caught when they come for me. I am Groot.
I just, like, maybe, okay, if that's the play, like, I am concerned for your safety, I am Groot, maybe be Groot before you put a ring on it.
I guess the idea was they're on the run still. He's still a wanted man. Like, he hasn't been in L.A. in some time.
Right.
And, of course, they're just trying to essentially make ends meet. So, I guess stealing gas, which I feel like that was mentioned somewhere, but I don't know if that was just to just make some quick money. But Han does make a reference to, like, their garages got raided.
This was another thing that I sort of remember from the early movie. Like, I do like the fact that when we're in the Dominican Republic, like, it's got that sort of kind of stereotypical, like, Mexico lighting. And then when you cut back to LA, the palette of everything is just so, like, gray and grim. It's a nice continuity from the first movie where, you know, LA is kind of treated the same way as far as the lighting and stuff. It's cool. I appreciated it.
Even the setting of just Brian, because even in, like, the first movie, that's right, and that's the other thing, too, is he wasn't even FBI in the first movie. Wasn't he just, like, local PD?
He was LAPD. I remember because you and I talked about this like 3 days ago and I looked it up.
Oh, yeah. But it's like he's FBI, but there's no Casey Masterpiece. There's no Bilkins.
Well, and like the movie, this is the biggest thing that I have a problem with. Like the movie is asking me to either forget the first one as far as this goes or to do some mental gymnastics that I just don't think would happen. Like the idea that this LAPD officer would let his mark go and then they look at his body of work and be like, that's a good cop. He is good at policing. We want him to police for us, the FBI. It's just like, no.
Like, I almost believe it because considering the type of people it looks like he was busting, like your average FBI agent, because if you look at the other characters, like what's the other, his like kind of like his rival, Stasiak, I think his name was.
I think so, yeah.
That guy would never be the type of guy who would even get close enough to like most of the dudes that Brian is going after, like these gangster types or even like, you know, a lot of them, of course, we find out are into cars and shit like that. Like, so I feel like Brian was like a necessary evil because it's almost like the Mod Squad kind of thing of this guy sucks, but he'll get us closer to the type of people that like we'll never be able to get to because they can smell cop a mile away on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like where Brian can kind of blend in a little bit. But at the same time, what bugs me though, and I don't know if you talk about this in your notes, was the fact that in this, you know, again, he let his mark go. Mm-hmm. Goes to Miami, reconnects with his, you know, close friend from childhood who resented him for being a cop and him getting busted, doing this job, basically stealing money from said drug bust that they were supposedly helping orchestrate.
Right.
And then talking about, oh, we're going to open up a garage together. And Tyrese's character, Roman, his whole thing was, I hate Brian because now he became a cop. Like, he's one of the ops. So at what point then, like, now Brian's an FBI agent in L.A. So at what point does he go talk to Tyrese about, like, hey, so I know we had this whole garage thing set up, but I'm going to go back to L.A. and become a cop again.
And not just a cop, a super cop for the FBI.
Like, running on rooftops and jumping out of windows.
That's right. The movie Seven, they modeled that shit after me.
I do appreciate something that these movies do. Like, when we first meet Brian at the first Fast and Furious, not a great cop and not a great driver. But when we meet him in Too Fast and Furious, he's a great driver. Like, yes. He's the man. Now, in Fast and Furious 4... he's actually not a bad cop. He's reckless, but he seems slightly more competent than he did the first time.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, for what it's worth. Obviously, this movie, the cops really don't hold much weight, so.
I mean, they're bad at copping in this movie, and then, like, basically, we're allowed to hate cops in the rest of the franchise, so that's cool. Big fan of that. One thing that we do need to talk about is the fact that Paul Walker's natural hair color is a vast fucking improvement to whatever was happening in 2001.
Oh my god, with his like frosted hair, like
his fucking terrible highlights, like ugh.
It was 2001. Name one person. Uh-huh. Like I think maybe you and I might be the only people who didn't have terrible highlights in the early 2000s.
I was a baby. I couldn't.
Well, neither was. Aw, Ashley.
I was 13. My mother would have ended me.
That's dark.
Okay, so I did actually like mention this within my notes. So at this point, when I wrote these, I had not seen the rest of the movies. I hadn't really had that much spoiled for me. The one thing that I did have spoiled for me was the fact that Letty did came back in later movies. So it did sort of undercut the emotional weight of that scene of her being murdered and that whole like shock that you're supposed to be dealing with. But I imagine for you, like a person who saw it in theaters at the time, like I imagine that was a big deal.
It felt cheap.
Yeah.
What was the slogan of the movie?
New model, old parts.
Which is like, that doesn't feel as flattering as they think. I would have said original parts. So the movie like is sold as like the return of the Fast and Furious cast, which is essentially just basically everybody except Tyrese and like Sean from Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, basically.
Because it's like, all right, Vin Diesel's back and Paul Walker's back and Jordana Brewster and Michelle Rodriguez. But like Michelle Rodriguez is in this movie for a total of...
It's like 17 minutes, if that...
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I could have swore a lot of this movie was a Vin Diesel kind of thing, because I think at this point, he wasn't going to come back in the franchise. And I guess whatever the original ending of Tokyo Drift was like so bad, they went back and like asked Vin Diesel, like, we need you to put in this movie. And he's like,
I am Groot.
So like they basically low-key begging to come back. It's like, all right, I'll come back under two conditions. One, I get to actually have like producer credits in this move, like in this franchise. And they're like, all right, cool. And second, dude gets like the Riddick franchise off of this movie, like off of like that cameo.
That's right.
Like he had finessed the shit out of them for like a 2 second cameo that basically makes this franchise again. So we go through this whole thing. He leaves her, which is like, holy shit, Dom's leaving Letty?
Yeah.
Which, I guess in retrospect, feels weirdly out of character.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
His whole thing is like, is that dedication to family and sort of his idea of family, which is, you know, like duty and like patriarchy, but not like in a bad way. Just like, he's the captain. And responsibility and that sort of thing. And just for him to be like, nah, fuck it, actually. Just it doesn't seem in character.
I almost wonder, like, okay, now that we know what we know with the franchise, like, eventually, and we talked about this a lot when we did the episode about the first Fast and Furious, where I think, I'm not sure which one of us said it, but I think we kind of came to this conclusion that, yes, Dom considered these people family, but, like, I think a lot of, it almost represented, like, that group of friends that you had, like, you knew from, like, high school or even since my childhood. Because even Jordana Brewster is, like, they just showed up one day and they just...
Never left. Yeah.
They were together almost just out of habit.
Which can lead to, I think, especially depending on the person, can lead to feelings of resentment. And that sort of thing where it's like, I don't get to take care of these people. Like, I have to take care of these people.
Right. But at the same time, it looked like it weighed on him because obviously when he almost gets busted, you know, they're cracking on Brian. Like, this dude sucks. But they don't go look for him. Like, they're just there partying at this dude's house.
Yeah. It's like they just expect him to be okay because he's always okay. Because, you know, nothing bad can ever happen to Dad. But, you know. Shit happens. Dads fuck up.
Losing all that, and if the one guy he does respect then turns out to be, like, the last person he ever really wants to deal with.
Yeah.
He's got this new crew. He's got Han, who obviously he's really tight with. Leo and Santo is their names. Okay. Like, they're cool, but the bond isn't quite there yet.
It's not a familial bond like the crew from the first movie. This seems more like business. Like, it's based on kind of like a mutual respect thing. I don't know. It's different. It feels different.
And I'm assuming some time has passed between Dom being in Mexico, because keep in mind, when that post-credit scene, he's by himself.
Right.
So I'm wondering how much of this version of Dom plays into the fact that he did run by himself for a while before running into these guys. So now he's kind of, I feel like, in a way, gone back to like this sort of, dare I say, lone wolf, where because of who he is, I think he's starting to realize, even though he's a criminal at the end of the day, he didn't walk away from the whole Brian situation unfazed.
Yeah.
Like, it really kind of shook him to his core because, like, this dude probably doesn't know what to think. Like, his family got splintered, parts of them died or got arrested. The guy that he trusted obviously betrayed him. So right now, maybe part of him, I think, is starting to regret the life a little bit, you know?
It could be regret. It could also come from a more pure place of just, like, realizing, like, this is where I'm at and this is what I'm made of. she's too good for this.
That part of it, oh, well, obviously we didn't get to that one yet. So this does come up later on.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into that because I know you have not seen that one yet. You do touch on something that is interesting later on.
So this was the thing that drove me absolutely fucking nuts watching this movie. And of course, I made a note about it. Letty's funeral is the beginning of a thing throughout the whole movie that I want someone to make for me. I want someone to cut together all of the overly meaningful stares from Paul Walker and Vin Diesel and make me a montage film set to Faint of Heart from Love You to Death. This movie is 30% those two dudes staring at something in the middle distance and feeling some feelings. And it's fine, but it's also irritating.
Love that this movie, like, when I talk about, like, the alternate version of the first movie, it really is a dramatic, almost retelling, or at least, like, a dramatic version of the first movie. Where the first movie, it's like, oh, this is cool and flashy, and this is probably the closest the Fast and Furious franchise gets to drama, maybe until, like, maybe the eighth one. And at the core, though, it really is a love story, but not necessarily of, like,
it's not romantic love, yeah.
But it really is just, like, these guys who are, for all intents and purposes, like, brothers or start to feel as such. Like, they miss each other.
Two bros.
I think they really do miss each other. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, and obviously, Brian, he's taken what he's learned from Toretto, but he's conflicted because instead of doing that thing that you would have thought, because obviously Tyrese was there to remind him that this whole cop thing is bullshit. That's not who you are. And yet he keeps going back to that because at the end of the day, Brian, outside of Dominic, doesn't have any real sense of family or even possibly loyalty. The badge is his fallback, you know, and I think even Jordana Brewster, that very ridiculous line that I would have done another read on or at least rewrote, where she's like, maybe you're not the good guy pretending to be the bad guy. Maybe the bad guy pretending to be the good guy. And I'm like, you could have like, who wrote this? Like, why are you giving this poor woman, like, these terrible lines?
Oh, man, I have a few notes about her in this movie, and they all kind of, she has a very specific set of skills. And maybe the drama in this movie is not within that set of skills, because it's not, she's better in subsequent movies. She's not great in this one.
Yeah, this one was awkward, because I feel like this is really Fast and Furious before all the set pieces are there. Like, as much as people like to say, like, oh, the first one is the gold standard, we are past that first set of movies where it was ridiculous but somewhat grounded, but we haven't gotten into the bonkers, outlandish set pieces. So this one just feels like illegitimate child of the family. I don't know. It's a weird movie. Like, I don't know what it wants to be.
I know what I want it to be. I want it to be the next one, because the next one's the most fun.
Oh, yeah. So in other words, we're just getting this out of the way so that way we could talk about five.
Yes, because that movie fucking rules.
Absolutely.
So, Dom is a mage. Dom is a fucking mage, y'all. This bro stares at the ground and figures out the whole fucking plot of the goddamn movie by staring at the ground.
Hashtag Aragorn did it first.
Oh my god, he's a fucking mage, and I cannot, like, please, can we... What are we doing? Why is he magic?
This whole movie's plot is hinged on the fact that...
He's magic.
This whole movie's predicated on the fact that the guy who he somehow believes and is able... Now, I know this is done... Okay, this is what's wild to me, right? So not even the fact that he somehow recreates the crash and is able to figure out exactly what happened is... Somehow he's able to picture the guy... The silhouette of the dude who he believes shoots Letty. But I'm like, you haven't met this person. Yeah, like, that could have been anybody. They could have literally just had, like, a shot of, like, a gun pointed at her. But we actually see the outline of the dude who did it, which is like, holy shit.
And it's not like the dude that did it is, like, a 6'1", stereotypical, like, built sort of dude. Like, he's got a unique silhouette.
So you looked under my hood?
So it's lazy. It's lazy filmmaking is what it is. But
oh, the tire track scorch marks were made by nitro meth.
Oh,
only
my God.
One guy I know in town runs that. Like, okay, time out.
LA's fucking huge. Are you kidding me? One place is selling it. Please fuck up Lee off.
What are we doing? Like, one guy in a whole town? Like, we spent a whole movie being in LA and realizing, holy shit, these motherfuckers like to drive cars. You mean to tell
me? There's a whole ass lifestyle that's looped into this.
One guy.
So I didn't, obviously, because I'm, you know, 30 some odd year old lady, I had no idea what nitro meth was, so I googled it. Nitro meth refers to nitromethane, the fuel they use in like Top Fuel drag racing. The difference is, in a condensed sciencey nutshell, that nitromethane fuel has oxygen molecules in it, whereas fuel has to have the oxygen added. So your engine causes little miniature explosions in it. The nitromethane like makes the explosions better. And like the like super TLDR version is like, it makes your car go faster, but it uses a lot more fuel to make your car go faster. So you run out of fuel a lot quicker. Yeah.
This is also the same guy who like in a later movie chastised Jason Statham for having a reinforced chassis in his car. So Dom's just being like super shitty about like, oh, you're cheating. Like, you know, oh, you run nitro meth. Because what does he say? Only pussies run nitro meth?
Yes.
That's not a thing to shit on somebody about.
It's also like, again, having an issue with it because I have one. You don't hear him use the word pussy very often, and it's very upsetting, and it just seems weird, and I don't like it. As an insult coming from Dom, I don't feel like that's something that his character would say, because like he is actually pretty respectful of women. I don't know. It just, I don't like that line. It's like one of my least favorite lines in the whole franchise. I don't like it.
Because I wonder, and I'm not excusing it, by the way, because I actually 100% agree.
Yeah.
It does feel out of character, but I almost wonder, was the idea that at this point, Dom is kind of backed into a corner. The love of his life is now dead. Was killed, more specifically, by this guy. Because I feel like the idea is this, because, you know, and we've said this before, Dom is barely concealed rage. Mm-hmm. Even though he tries to be stoic, it doesn't take much for him to just completely explode.
Yeah.
So I feel like the idea was like, not only is his wife dead, he knows who killed him, now he's going to infiltrate this group. Because throughout the movie, he's supposed to be kind of undercover, much like Brian is, to infiltrate this crime ring to like bring them down. But multiple times, Dom is basically acting out of, because like in that scene where they're driving through the tunnel, you know, they're supposed to be driving in formation. Dom immediately breaks formation and starts going after the car until he's told to go back in line.
Doing like Renegade Shepherd shit.
Yeah, he's just like tapping right trigger the whole time.
Well, because he does do some like Renegade Shepherd shit in this movie.
All his
like,
speech options are red.
Where his whole like, I'm gonna drop an engine on your face. I am Groot. Like, he does some crazy out of pocket shit in this movie.
Shout out to him for holding up an entire engine with a chain. Like, this dude's face would be slowly being crushed. Maybe not, like, dropped, but he's holding up an entire engine by himself.
And then later on, with the David Park, he literally does Renegade Shepherd, where he, like, dangles dude out the window.
Right, because this is the point. If he's going to be hyper-aggressive, let him go hyper-aggressive, because he's still kind of playing him stoic.
Yeah.
Even when, like, Brian shows up. This is the part of the movie, like, this is the first time these two were together on screen since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of, like, a big deal. But Dom almost seems, like, completely unfazed at the fact that Brian's here.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. He's obviously, like, he's angry. He's going to hang this guy out. And he's like, oh, Letty was my friend, too. I was like, you were no one's friend. Which I'm like, obviously he's trying to be all like, oh, I don't care, but knowing he is, like, I just feel like this scene should have held more weight.
I agree with you.
It's nuts. We've gone at least right now almost an hour.
Yeah, we're like maybe 30 minutes into the movie.
I mean, some of the parts of this movie don't really matter much. And keep in mind, I love this movie a lot, but there's parts of it where I'm like, we don't need to talk about this.
Yeah, we don't. We're good, actually.
This has been a lot of fun, and I want to get the rest of Ashley's notes, but before we go, we should probably tell the good people where they can listen to us and find us online.
On the internet. Bye.
TLAT Podcast. See you later, guys.